singing out of the hymn books and everybody singing along. Let's turn to Matthew. We're still talking about the parables in this series of parables, and these are different type of parables. I bought a book called The Parables because I wanted to preach through the parables. And when the book came, it just had hundreds of parables that I never even thought was parables until I started studying them. And this is a parable, according to the writer of the book of parables that I purchased. Matthew chapter 5. Familiar, very familiar to all of us. Much needed. I think it really tails in the last week when we talked about living God's truths out in society. And I think this parable sort of guides us back into it. Last week we talked about Lydia and how badly they needed a church. Yeah. But Lydia didn't need any church. They weren't talking about having just any church. They wanted a spirit-filled church. A church that made an impact on society. And I believe this is what Jesus is teaching here with one of the greatest sermons of all time, in the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 5. We're going to go 1 through 13. 1 through 13. And it reads as follows. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye. Let me read that again. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his Savior, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of man. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Beatitudes. Thank you for being a teacher. Thank you for sitting down this day on this mountain and teaching. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we ask right now that you would sit down with us and teach us. We're not here to be entertained. We're not here to run around in circles. We are here because we want to be taught. We want to be taught how we ought to live in a bland, flavorless world that is in so much need of salt. We want to be salt. Because you said we ought to be salt. So we ask right now, Father God, that you would just open up the salt shakers and pour out the salt of the word upon us this morning. So when we leave here, Father God, we will be salty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. How many want to be salty?
Amen.
Back in the day, we would look at somebody and say, oh, that person is just salty.
Yeah.
But we want a more biblical salt.
Yeah.
How many know there's salt substitutes?
Amen.
See, there's just some saved folks that you know, they salt substitutes. They're not the real thing. They don't have a real salt on them. God said we ought to be salt. We ought to be salty. The church needs some salty saints. Some salty saints. We're going to talk about salty saints today. You know Martin Luther King said something years ago. I don't know if it applies today anymore. I forgot about Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King said the church is the conscience of America. That's what he said. He said the church is the conscience of America.
Amen.
What he's basically saying is the church is the salt of the world.
Amen.
How's your salt? Salt is used over 14,000 ways in this world. You would be hard pressed. And I tried it. I've been doing it. This morning I was in Walmart. I did it yesterday, and I did it this morning. And I challenge you, when you get home, to look in your bathroom cabinet and see if you can find anything in there that don't have salt in it.
All right.
Toothpaste, mouthwash, deodorant, lotion, contact solution. There is nothing in your cabinet, in your bathroom, that does not have salt. Okay? It has many, many uses. And if you go in your kitchen, just about everything has salt in it. Okay? Everything is made of salt. Salt is one of the most valuable minerals known to man.
Amen.
How many heard the saying, you're not worth your salt?
Amen.
The Latin word salaria means salt. Back in Jesus' day, back in Leviticus, if you were to turn there, we don't have to, but they paid people in salt because salt was so valuable. Okay? So from the Latin word salaria, we get salary. That's the American word for it. That's what you pay, salary. So you hear somebody say, you're not worth your salt. Okay? That was common in those days. And every offering that went up to God was salted. Before it went up, it was salted. Let me turn to Leviticus 2:13. I don't like keep you thinking I'm just making up stuff. Okay? Leviticus 2:13, I'm there. Because I put special little tabs in my Bible. Every obligation, every oblation, excuse me, of thy meat offering shall thou season with salt. Okay? See, salt sweetens food too. See, God, y'all people think they just threw an animal in the fire. You know, God said, no. I want my meat seasoned. Okay? So he said, every oblation of meat offering shall thou season with salt. So before that animal was after he was slain or however they did it, I didn't really study that. But before it was burnt and before it was cooked, it was seasoned with salt. This is what it said. Neither shall thou suffer the salt of thy covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thy offerings, thou shalt offer salt. And salt back in that days was valuable. It was expensive. Because they didn't have refrigeration. And everything was salted. And all the meat, they would cut it. And they would salt it. And they still do that. And even back when, you know, I know Deacon Oliver probably thinking over there, yeah, we used to salt that pork down back in the day. But that's what you did. What they call salt pork. And it would stay. But God is speaking something different here. He's saying in verse 13, and this is our text, he said, ye are the salt of the earth.
Amen.
Now, before we can understand that, and again, salt is valuable. Salt is used almost close to 15,000 ways in our country. No other commodity is used more but one. Water. Water. Okay? Water. And salt works on the inside. Okay? It's not a mineral like gold or diamonds or rubies or pearls. You know, it's not for show. What salt does, it doesn't do for show. See, we have a lot of church folks that don't want to be salt. They want to be gold, and they want to be pearls, and they want to be ruby, and they want folks to look at them. Okay? And they look good on the outside, but they're no salt in the inside. Ain't nothing wrong with it on the inside. And Jesus had a name for them. Okay? He called the Jews, because see, the Jews was worried about the outside. All they worried about was looking good and shining. And he said, you know what? You're nothing but a bunch of white washed sepulchres. Clean up a tomb. He said, that's all you is a cleaned up tomb. And inside you are dead man bones. See, some of y'all can't imagine Jesus being confrontational like that, because you don't want to be salt. You done heard so many sugary, watered down cinnamon messages. God didn't call us to be sugar. Okay? He didn't call saints of God to be sugar. He didn't call us to be vanilla. He didn't call us to be cinnamon. He called us to be salt. Now, next time you cut yourself, and some of you got wounds in here now, put some salt in it. See, that's the job of the pastor. That's the job of the saint of God. You come to a saint of God and with your mess, and if that saint puts some salt in it, who are you? Who are you to judge me? All that kind of cuss stuff. Because you need some salt. See what salt does? Salt stops the spread of infection.
Amen.
Okay? And meat, it stops the spread of bacteria. Okay? See, moisture, that salt absorbs the moisture. That moisture carries bacteria. So when they put the salt on it, it dries up the bacteria and kills it. See, some of y'all don't want to hear the word of God because it hurts a little bit. Look in your cabinet, and next time you know that little stuff, that orange stuff your parents used to put on everything. You know, when we was little, every time you got cut. Every time I got cut, my daddy or my mother would bring that little bottle of orange stuff out. Was it iodine? After a few cuts, you just wouldn't tell them you cut. That iodine in there. And you'd just be sick. Because it burned.
Yes, it did.
And that's the job of the saint. We ought to be salty.
Amen.
We ought not. You know what? I just don't believe a child of God, best friend, can be a heathen.
All right.
I'm not about your best friend. And if you run around here, people say, well, you know, I heard the same sex stuff is going on, same sex marriage, and you know, and I've seen people back off, and, you know, saved folks, Christian folks. Well, my best friend is gay. Or my best friend is a lesbian. Listen. None of my friends is gay. Y'all, pastor, I don't have any lesbian friends or gay friends or homosexual friends. I do not. I'm too salty for that. Okay? Now, if you do, it's just a sign that you're not salty enough. Because if a openly homosexual man calls me up and say, look, you know, let's go out to lunch or play golf, and he starts telling me about his relationship with another man, then I got problems with that.
Yeah.
Now, I understand all that he needs the gospel.
Yeah.
That's all.
Amen.
I'm not condemning it.
No.
But you can't be my best friend and be in love with another man. And some come to get telling me, well, I went to a conference like that, and well, Pastor, how are you going to give advice to two men in your church that's having an argument? Two men in my church will not stay here long enough for me to give them counseling. And the only counseling that is necessary there is you need Jesus.
Yeah.
That's the only counseling. I know that's bothering some folks in here. Because some of you in here have homosexual friends and lesbian friends. And that's only because you're not salty. Okay? That's the only reason why. Because, you know, I wouldn't be comfortable if my wife said, I'm going out with Susie, and, you know, she's openly gay, and, you know, her and her girlfriend's having problems, and she wants to talk to me. See, husbands have lost their wives. They ain't just losing them to men. And you know, I say this, and I'm going to get off of this, because I'm going to talk about salt. But the most dangerous man in the world is an openly gay pastor. And let me explain this. Because if you as a man, woman don't have a chance with this guy. But if you as a man, and you sitting here today, and you have no intention of ever being involved in a homosexual relationship, and you meet a man, and he can talk you out of your manhood. What chance do a woman have? Woman can't deal with this guy. Oh, no, that's dangerous. So let me move on. It is what it is. Who are you standing with? What are you standing for? Are you salt? Here's the ingredients of biblical salt. Okay? Here's the ingredients of biblical salt. I'm not talking about what's in the salt shaker.
Amen.
Jesus said, you're the salt of the world. Listen, he opened his mouth. He opened his mouth and taught them. I don't sing.
Amen.
I don't dance. Pastor Cross taught me, I hang on to this pulpit. I ain't got nowhere to go. If I get away from this book, y'all in trouble. He said, here's the ingredients. And he breaks it down. He said, blessed are the poor. Now, he's grouping everything. Okay? The first six or seven, he's grouping. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? Why? Why is it blessed to be poor in spirit? Because before you were regenerated, before you were born again, you weren't poor in spirit. You was haughty and arrogant and proud. And you didn't care what God thought. And as soon as God came into your life, you seen yourself as who you were, and you became humble, and you became poor in spirit because you seen what a wretched sinner you were. You seen what a hell-bound sinner you were, and you immediately became poor in spirit. You immediately became humble. And then you say, blessed are they that mourn.
Yes.
Now you got this regenerated spirit, this born-again spirit. And now what you used to laugh at and what you used to partake in, now it mourns you.
Yes.
It mourns you. When some of the things that you used to listen to and you hear it, some of the stuff you used to watch, now you see it and it just grieves you. This is a picture of a salty person who's been born again. Now they're mourning over the sins of this world. Things you used to laugh at, now you mourn. Some of the things that happen on Saturday Night Live, you sit up and watch it. Now when you see it, you just mourn. It just grieves you. It ought to mourn you to watch Jerry Springer. It ought to mourn you to see how the devil is just uses folks for entertainment. It ought to mourn you, those in here that have been through painful divorces, to watch folks ridicule and mock divorce on divorce court and all this stuff. It ought to mourn you. It ought to mourn you when you see pedophiles and folks that prey on little kids. You know, we just had 3 more to this area. I got 3 texts in the last 3 weeks. There's 3 more within 2 miles of this church. Brings the total up to 55 pedophiles within, registered sex offenders within 2 miles of this church. Vacation Bible School's coming up. We're going to put signs out. They're going to see it. We need some watchmen here. We need some watchmen in this church. There's no reason for any man not to be here for them 2 weeks. How would you feel if you're not here, sitting at home, and something happened to one of these kids? We need watchmen. It's more the Vacation Bible School than us having food and teaching. We have to be defensive. And we have to be sober and security minded. We live in a fallen world.
Amen.
And a resident sex offender, a pedophile, looking for signs like that. Where the kids said, that's where they're going to be. Oh, I don't know. That's salty. You know, I got an uncle who's registered, but he he got a problem. But we don't need it here. Are you mourning? When you read the paper last week, did you mourn a little bit? Mm-hmm. Or did you sit there and say, good for him, he needs to go to prison for all the rest of his life? Did you mourn for the AG boy? Did you mourn for the Shaw boy? Did you mourn for their families who are not going to see their son no more? And some of you young brothers in here, young people in here, young women in here, 2 women in the paper jumped on the car.
Yeah.
Why? Why do you do that? Why do you act out like that? Because you're not under the control of the Holy Spirit. And if you're not under control of the Holy Spirit, what spirit you under control of? Only 2? You're going to be controlled by 1? Well, how about the devil may be doing? You're doggone right, he did. Flip Wilson got it right. So God didn't make you do it. Blessed are the meek. Or you become meek. You become humble. You become meek. Because God has saved you. Now you become meek. You're not proud. You're not boastful. You're not braggadocious. You know you got power. You know who God said was the meekest man ever lived? Moses. Moses. Killed 3,200 people. Came back off the mountain and seen them all partying. He said, who's on the Lord's side? That's meekness. That's meekness. You got power. But you're under control now. Because God don't give you power like Satan do. Satan give you power, kill, steal, and destroy. That's his power. He want to mess your life up. He want to mess your marriage up. He want to mess your family up. He happy to see 70% of all African-American kids are growing up in single family homes. He like that. And he get a chance, he get the mama too. Then send him home and let that 80-year-old grandma try to raise one of these 12-year-old boys. And that's what's happening. Got a generation of kids don't even want fathers. Young boy, I want a father. I'd rather be with mama because I can do whatever I want to do.
Amen.
Are you meek? Are you mourning? Are you poor in spirit? Look at the next one. The blessed ones. That word blessed, let me cover that word. It means happy. It means happy. See, every like I said, this morning in Sunday school, everybody that's running around here bobbing their heads ain't happy.
Amen.
Thinking. Ain't nobody happy going through. Living in this world without Jesus, ain't nobody happy. They can say what they want to say. Well, Hollywood on drugs and pain pills and all kind of stuff.
Amen.
Got all the money in the world, ain't happy. How about that one? Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. The salty person is hungry. For what? For more salt. Hungry for the word. Can't wait to get to church. Can't wait to get the prayer meeting. Can't wait to get the Bible study. A hungry person want to be around the righteous.
Amen.
Why does a hungry person want to be around righteous folks? Because they can become more righteous. You got somebody you're accountable to. I love being around the saints. I spent a week last week went around with the heathens. I spent a week with them. Oh, Lord. Wear you down. But see, the unrighteous want to be around unrighteous folks. Blessed is the man who what? Walks not under the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Listen, you know what? And I found this out. I just can't sit with anybody. Hey, we going out to lunch. I'm not eating with you guys. No offense. No, don't thank you. I didn't say it like I said to you guys. Oh, we going to the hot dog shop. You want anything? I'm cool. You be careful who you're sitting with. Because when you sit with them, you are identifying yourself with them. And so when that person you sitting with, if you sit with a group of guys and one of them guys go out and shoot somebody, they coming to get everybody that was sitting with them. Well, who was he last seen with? Come on now. Well, I seen him with Ray and Zaire. One bullet killed him, but five people going to jail for life. See, that's the system. Wait a minute now. That ain't making sense. How do we all kill them if only with one bullet? Don't matter. You're all going to jail. Unless you got money. Zaire might not go. Ray going. Sorry, Joe. I ain't spending mine to get him out. Okay. Poor baby. Pat Ray on the head when he leaves. Listen, blessed. Now, here's some more salt. Blessed are the merciful. You know, we talked about the rich man Lazarus, and the rich man went to hell for one reason. He was unmerciful. He had an opportunity to do mercy, and he refused to do mercy. That was the only reason he went to hell. He didn't go to hell because he was cold and purple every day. He didn't go to hell because he was spared sumptuously. He went to hell because he had an opportunity to do mercy. And he didn't. And when he got to hell, when he got to Hades, when he got there, the first thing he asked for was what? Mercy. Mercy. A salty person is merciful. Why? Because you understand that the mercy that God has given you, you understand it. You understand. Look at James. We've been studying on Thursday. Look at James 2:13. Oh, this is a good one here. We got stuck on this one a long time. But we have to understand this. Because God is speaking here through the person of James. He said, "For he shall have judgment without mercy on them that have showed no mercy." So if you live in the day and you are not showing mercy, don't expect any. Don't expect any mercy if you live in a life and you're not merciful. How about that? That make any sense, Elder? That makes some sense to me. Because I got stuck on it. And since I'm teaching a class and I get stuck, they get stuck. Let me read that again. Because there's a folks in here that don't have no mercy. I watch the young kids in my neighborhood just walking around and shooting the ducks with BB guns. Little ducks. I said, what's wrong with you? Number ducks. What do it profit, my brother, though a man say he hath faith? I'm in the wrong verse. For verse 13. For he shall have judgment. God without mercy that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment. What would you rather have? Mercy or judgment? See, when you get judgment, like I said, there's no people arguing. There's no arbitration. Okay? You're just getting what God give you. And he's giving it to you without mercy. That's a shock there. We ought to cry out. Blessed are the merciful. I just want to be merciful. I just want to be merciful. What's mine is yours, Lord. Tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. I can't do nothing with it. If I'm not doing it for you, I can't do nothing with it. Then he says, then he moves on and we cover these things. He said, blessed are the pure in heart. How about that? How's your heart? Is it pure? Or is it defiled? You ought to know. Watch what come out of your mouth. That's the number one barometer. What's coming out of your mouth? Let you know the condition of your heart. Because the word of God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I'm not talking about just cussing. See, some people think that just means cussing. That means gossiping. Lying. Your thought life starts in your heart. What's going on? What do you think about now? I know. You know, I'm going to get out of here. Every Sunday, the same thing. Yeah? That's why I'm going to keep my day job. Yeah. If enough of y'all get the way y'all don't want to hear it. You know, I know how Baptist folks do. Call church meeting. I don't know about it. Okay. I'm going to give you some spies up in here.
Right.
Yeah, Joshua and Caleb. But now watch what he does. One more attribute of this salty. Are you salty? How you lining up with these Beatitudes? How you doing? Are you poor in spirit? Or are you still proud and arrogant? Are you mourning? Turn on the news. Does it make you mourn? When you see these young boys running around with their pants all down on the ground, cussing and swearing, walking in the middle of the street. Walking in the middle of the street. Does it make you mourn? Are you meek? You got power. I stopped the other day. I told my father I was cutting grass. A young boy was across the street cutting grass. I just wanted to talk to him. I just wanted to talk to him. And his father was blessed by it. His father said, you're a blessing. He said, this is best, one of the best athletes in this area. 14 years old. 14 years old. You ought to see him. Look like a 14-year-old Cam Newton.
All right.
About 6 foot, just lean. Lean and mean. Going to Austin Town, Fitch. And his father said, getting all D's. Don't listen to nobody. And I just gave him the gospel. Let him know what I do. Let him know what I do. Let what I done for the last 20 years. Cuff him and stuff him. Some of the best athletes in the world locked up.
Yeah.
Going on to the yard at recreation time and watch some young boys flying through the air, slam dunking 360s. Locked up. With all the talent in the world. Making $17 a month. Some of the best electricians and carpenters and plumbers in the world. Musicians making $17 a month. Locked up. Some of you sitting here with all the talents in the world, but you can't do only what you think you can do. Step out on faith. The brother said it today, without faith it's impossible to please God. Well, I can't do that. I can't do this. You can't do nothing for God if you can do it for yourself. Blessed are the peacemakers. How about that? Are you a peacemaker? Do you love peace? Do you love peace? Paul had in Philippians 4 in 1, he had two women that was fighting all the time. And he said, where's all the true yoke fellas? Where's the peacemakers at? Folks just leave church. Where the peacemakers at? Somebody ought to be on. Are you a peacemaker? Are you pure in heart? Are you merciful? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Are you meek? Do you mourn? Are you poor in spirit? Now here comes the end part. He gets away from categorizing everything. Now he's got to start to get singular here. Here's the separation part. Now some folks say, well, he preaching to the preachers and the apostles. No, he hadn't chosen his apostles yet.
Alright.
He was preaching to the multitude. So this is for an everyday person. This ain't just for me, Reverend Jones, and Elder Stewart. This is for the people. He said, you are the salt of the world. Sheep against sheep. Sheep against sheep. Y'all know what that means? A shepherd A shepherd and a sheep cannot reproduce. Y'all get that? Do you know it is an abomination unto a holy God when the shepherd of the church gets into a relationship with a sheep? We had a boy out there at the Campfield Fair years ago. They gave him some time. They called him with the sheep. Y'all get that? I don't want to get too graphic. I know I can. You know, Dave will grab me by the collar. That was over the top. He's getting verse number 11. Now he's going to really start finding out who's who. Now we're going to find out who the salt is and who the sugar is. You know, you ever mistakenly poured your salt in your iced tea thinking it was sugar? I have. Not a good thing. Okay? Blessed are ye. Now, singular, ye. That's the same ye that you find in verse 13. And ye. Same ye. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. That's in your face. That's when they come right in your face and revile you and lie on you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. That's a personal one-on-one conversation with a godless person. That's what it means to revile. Okay? He says, blessed are ye when men revile you. How is that blessed? And that word means happy. How are you happy when somebody gets in your face and revile you? There ain't no problem if they revile you for the right thing. If they revile you because you are salty. The godless world don't want salt around. Turn on you in a dark room and turn on the light. What will happen to all the roaches? Man of God, a woman of God walk into the room and the conversation ought to be, zip it. Here come Mr. Salt. So I want you right. You right. Mr. Salt don't want to hear your porn jokes. Oh, I don't want to see your Playboy magazines all over the place. I don't. And I demand that. Not because I run around with a what would Jesus do shirt on and a I love Jesus hat on and Jesus earrings and Jesus rings and Jesus. No, it's just salt. Your life. Your life. And that's why we are called the salt of the world. But see, when saved folk live like heathens, the world has nothing to judge itself against. And like Martin Luther King said, the church is the conscience of the country. And now we have a country that has no conscience. Because it's the church. That's right, I blame it on the church. Why do you do that? Because God blames it on the church. He says, judgment must begin in the house of God. It's going to start at the church. So we can sit here and play around in church and laugh and joke and turn the church into a musical. That's right. And God is just watching. Look at them fools down there playing church while the world is just rotting away like rotten, stinking meat. The world is rotting away and the salt is staying in the shaker. Oh, when we was young, I had to tell these stories because we got young kids in here. But, you know, I wasn't always saved. You know, I'm blaming on my friends. My friends used to do this. Me and Joe. You know how you go to a restaurant and you know we would take loosen up the salt shaker, loosen up the ketchup, and we sit on it. Then they come over, that's ketchup. Pass the salt. Oh, man. You know, stuff like that. None of y'all else done nothing. Who ain't nobody else done nothing like that? I know Bernadine. I know Bernadine. Because it happened to me once, and I remember a short guy in the restaurant. Got him. Ran out of the restaurant. Messed up my hamburger. Listen. He said, blessed are ye. Verse 11, when men shall revile you and persecute you. That's right in your face. That persecution comes in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
That persecution comes in a lot of ways. See, Satan is, he's the author of confusion. Yeah. And understand something. Yeah. Wherever there's confusion, Satan's there.
Yeah.
Understand that.
That's right.
Satan is the author of confusion. So when confusion started this church, somebody ought to just say, hold up.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Because Satan got in here. And he don't care how he gets to church. He'll ride with anybody. He'll ride with me. Some days I think he had rolled with me. He said, blessed are men when they revile you and they persecute you. How about that? That's a joy. Paul and Silas, remember they got locked up? And they was in stocks and feet was locked up. And you know what they were singing? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. That's amazing. We get to where somebody in line at Walmart with 14 items instead of 13, we mad. I know. Listen, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name. Say three things happen in there. The first two, revile and persecute, is in your face. And the other one is behind your back. See, that's what Satan do. He going to talk about you in your face. And he'll talk about you behind your back. That's what he do. But you know what Jesus said in verse 12? Rejoice. Rejoice that Satan has found you worthy, salty, enough to be talked about. Oh, because a house divided against itself shall not and cannot stand. So see, when Satan get on you, it's only because he's getting on you because you is the child of God. He's not getting on you because you're doing his work. So it's a good thing. Talk about him. Oh, that bald-headed preacher. You know, always preaching on hell. Always screaming and spitting all over his Bible. I know it's all spitting all over the place. That's something to rejoice about.
Amen.
He said, rejoice, not only rejoice, but be exceedingly glad. Yes. Be abundantly glad because you are worthy to be abused and reviled and persecuted and talked about. And I'm not talking about you talking about the preacher because he ain't no good. He's running all around and you've seen him at Jitso, you've seen him at Frieda's, you've seen him with the secretary. He riding to Cleveland and Akron with the secretary. Listen. You know what Billy Graham used to say? He said he got on an elevator. If he was going to get on the elevator and a woman was on the elevator, he wouldn't get on. That's how conscious he was of being holy and pure and righteous. Now, I don't want to meddle. But if y'all see me out to dinner sitting somewhere with anybody other than, raise your hand, sister. Y'all need to come over and find out who that person is. Because I'm probably being held hostage. She got a gun. Save me. And I love you women. But me and Margaret ain't riding to Cleveland together. It just ain't happening. Unless we all on a big white van. And you know what? I get reviled over that, and I get persecuted over that. Because I talked to a pastor about that before. I said, you shouldn't be doing that. And he called me out. Said he remember that. I mean, there's a certain way you hug a woman as a pastor. As a man. When I see pastors going all up inside women's coats, hugging them, hey. Kissing women in the mouth and stuff, hey. And you take position like that. And you will be reviled. You will be reviled. Because you have a standard and you don't move from it. And it's not being preached in these churches. And that's why the men don't come. Because it's a feminine message. I don't want to go there. Rejoice. Rejoice. And be exceedingly glad. Because great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets that were before you. Listen, persecution is part of this Christian walk. And if you're not being persecuted, the Bible says, let a man examine himself. Okay? See if he's in the faith. And it says, beware. I don't know if it's the right scripture. It says, beware when all men speak well of you. You ain't saying nothing. And lost people don't want to hear nothing. See, preacher. Preach too long. Lost folks don't want to hear a word. They don't want to hear a word. And preachers know it. So we're going to fill the house. We don't preach nothing. God hear you. Look at verse 13. We're going to close up. This is early. Ye are the salt of the earth. Know that? We give flavor to the world. Because we hold the world accountable. We stop the world from rotting. We stop the world from rotting away. We do. You know, and when a church grows up in a community, it ought to stop the decay of that community. Because you look at our communities, we got churches on every corner. And the community is just eroding away. Why? Because the church don't have any flavor. It's lost its savior. When a church go up, if a church went up in the middle of the hood, it ought to stop the erosion. I just believe that. I just believe that. I believe this church here. This is why I get on them. I don't like the way the grass look. It looks burnt. And it ought to be beautiful. The whole church ought to be beautiful. God's house. It ought to be the most beautiful building on this street. And folks look a lot of ride by and say, wow, that's beautiful back there. The grass ought to be green. Let's make dandelions and weeds everywhere. We're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor. I like that word. I like the King James word. Some Bibles may have lost its taste or has lost its saltiness. But I believe what he's saying here is lost his savor. He's saying you lost your relationship with Jesus. If you have no relationship with Jesus, you have no effect on a godless world. You are part of the problem. And I've seen godless people giving counseling to folks. I remember he had a lady at work that had been divorced 4 or 5 times. Giving out advice. And I'm sitting here like, folks, y'all listening to her. Have you lost your Savior? Are you a good for nothing Christian? That's what the Bible said. That's not me. Are you a good for nothing Christian? I can't do nothing. He says if you lost your Savior, you're good for nothing. If you unsaved and in church, you're good for nothing. And I don't care how many pieces of paper you pick up in the parking lot. That's not what he's talking about here. He says, wherewith shall it be salted? If we lost our Savior, if we lost our saltiness, if we lost our flavor, how are we going to do anything? What do? You go to the cabinet and salt the moisture that got in it? And it's hard as a rock. What do? Throw it away. I'm not talking about losing your salvation here, but if you don't have no Savior, probably never had it. That's why he gave you all the beatitude. How you lining up? If none of these fit you, then you're not salt. You're just going through the motions. And you're good for nothing. Throw out on the ground. You try to underfoot. And some of us, you ever hear see Christians? Just walked on. Abused. Always going through. Always got problems. Always got issues. So they ain't got no power. No strength. No salt. No salt. Good for nothing. God don't want us to be good for nothing, saints. He don't want us to be good for nothing. Salt is good. Salt is good. Look at Colossians 4:6. I'm gonna get ready to close. I just see it. This is a wonderful verse. Because it reminds you of what God has done for you. It reminds you of what God has done for you. If you say. Colossians 4:6. If you say. See, the word of God is written to save folks. That's all it's written to. It's written to save folks. And this is why a saved person is going to be hungry and thirsty for the word of God. You're going to schedule your life around God's word and in God's presence. It says, let your speech be always with grace. Now, let's stop there. If you've been with us on Wednesday night, we've been talking about grace. Grace is what God has done for you. Okay? Grace is God blessing on your life. Grace is God delivering you out of a hellbound life. And he's saying, let your speech always be with grace. Always remembering that you were once a rotten, hellbound sinner, but by the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not by works. Lest any man should boast. So he said, let your speech be without boasting. Let your speech be without arrogance and haughtiness. Let your speech be without all that. Because you're not all that. None of us in here did anything to be saved. It's only by God's grace are any of us saved. And we walk around here like we've done something. You haven't done nothing. And your speech ought to always be seasoned not only with grace, but with salt. He said, let your speech be always with grace and seasoned with salt. Salt sweetens it up. We ought to be some sweet talking folks. This is probably one of the sweetest messages you ever heard. Oh, amen. Where's sister at? See, that's why I miss sister. Sister would say, amen. Let your speech always be seasoned not only with grace, but seasoned with salt. Listen. That ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Because see, all they want to do is pull you out of your sweetness and say, see, then he called himself a Christian. And look at him. You let a lot of things happen. A lot of people know all your business by the way you talk. Because the people won't even know you're a fool if you keep silent. That's what Proverbs says. You can be the biggest fool in the room sitting there and everybody think you're the smartest man in the room, but you ain't said nothing. As soon as you open your mouth, Okay. I ain't looked at this all day. Let me look at it. I think I covered it all. I guess I didn't. One point. Out on the table, I put a question of the week again. And the question was, why did Lot's wife turn to salt? Real quick. I'm the hottest one in here, so y'all hang in here with me. My wife ironed me a long sleeve shirt today, and I got a full t-shirt on, so I'm doing all right. I blame everything on her. I remember the story in Lot in Genesis 19. The angels came to Sodom. It says in verse 1, and two angels came to Sodom at evening, and Lot was at the gate. You know what it means? Lot was at the gate. Lot was in a position of authority now. He was a judge. Remember the story of Abraham and Lot's soldiers? Lot's workers and Abraham's workers got into a confrontation. And they said, it's, the land's not big enough. And Lot, and Abraham said, Lot, you go right, and I'll go left, you go left, and I'll go right. And Lot looked to the right and seen Sodom, and it was green, and it was just rich with fertile and everything. And Lot, being an ungrateful nephew that he was, he said, I'm going to take the green, and Abraham, you can go to the wilderness and where all the weeds is at. And he turned his face towards Sodom. And then it says that he started out outside of Sodom, then he worked his way in. See, that's how sin worked. He started out outside, then he worked his way in. And this is how sin worked. See? This is why, you know, you befriend that homosexual guy. And they say, you know, okay, I don't have a problem with two men getting married. The moment you say that as a man, you've lined yourself up. Okay?
Amen.
Now you open. Now you open. You got to be careful with what comes out of your mouth.
Amen.
Because God heard you.
Yeah.
God heard you.
Yeah.
So Sodom started drawing Lot in. And then he got in. He got in Sodom. And he became a part of Sodom. And the angels came to Abraham. And he started off with 50. Y'all remember the story. He said 50. He said, Abraham, I'm getting ready to go to Sodom and tear it up because, you know, the sin is so wicked and I got to shut it down. I got to shut it down before it spread. See, Sodom was spreading. And this is why what America is doing right now is dangerous, because it spreads. Everything begins in America. And that's why the foreign countries hate us so much, because we spread that contamination. So what God is saying to Sodom here, he's saying to Lot, Abraham, he says, I got to destroy it. And Abraham said, what about 50 men? 45. 35. Then he started going in tens. Then he said 30. Then he said 20. Then he said 10. It got to be 10. I can't have a church there. Can't have a synagogue without 10. So he didn't go no less than 10. And Abraham knew there wasn't 10 there. And the angels came to Sodom. And them boys wanted them angels. Okay? And Lot offered them their children, offered them their daughters. Say, I got two daughters. Do what you want to do. Virgin daughter, we don't want no, bro. Okay. We like angels. And the angels had to pull Lot inside the house and blinded the men. And then he gave them a warning. He said, get out of Sodom. And Lot said, can I go tell my sons-in-laws? And because Lot had lost all his saltiness. See, you hang around sin, you lose your saltiness. You know, you get a pretzel and then, you know, you keep rubbing the salt off of it. Some folks, I see folks rub all the salt off of it because they don't like salt. All the salt had been rubbed off Lot. And he went to his sons-in-laws and they laughed at him. They said, man, you must be a fool. We're not leaving here. We're having a good time up in here. Okay, we got front row seats to the Lakers games, you know. We love it here in Sodom. And Lot even struggled to get out. Okay? Lot struggled to get out. And his wife struggled to get out. And if you read the text, I'm not going to read it, but they had to pull Lot away too. Okay? Now Lot's wife should have been in front of him. But she lingered behind. She lingered behind. The Bible says she lingered behind. And she looked back. And that word look back means, it don't mean she just took a glance back. She took a hard look back and said, I'm going to miss Sodom and all that I did in Sodom. Now I was head of the PTA. You know, I was, you know, breast cancer awareness. I was one of the, all that. And God shut her down. Why did God shut her down? Because he was shutting Sodom down. And if you bring in those same attitudes into the Zoar where God had called him, didn't need it. So he shut it down. And you know, nothing has ever grown on Sodom since that day. Nothing. And I guess the question is, are we looking back as a church? Are we willing to do anything to fill this church? Have we fallen that far where we're willing to do anything to fill this church? Or are we going to wait for God? Are we going to hold a standard Are we going to hold the standard or are we going to move the standard back? See, the world's saying, you know what? You need to move the standard back. Okay? We need to fill up the church. You one of the only churches in the Youngstown don't have no women in the pulpit. Don't you believe in women preachers? No. And you know, you preach on that stuff. You know, Pac-Man, the boxer, came out and made a comment about same-sex marriages being against God.
Yeah.
And he gave him the Bible. He gave him Leviticus 20 and 13. He gave to him, said, it's just what it is. And they got to him. Hey, you know, you're making millions. It's going to cost you something. You know what? It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something to serve God. And if you are in a relationship with God, or think you is, and it's not costing you something, you better examine yourself. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Okay? Is your religion costing you something? Not religion, that's a bad word. Is your relationship with God costing you something? Or are you just moving up the food chain? Because everybody loves you. Everybody loves you. Everybody loves you, God probably don't. Everybody loves you. If you Mr. Popularity, or if you in school, you the class clown, and everybody loves you because you are the biggest knucklehead in the class, you got a problem. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, bless your holy name. Father God, we want to be salt. We need your hand on the church. Paul had to strike the church in Damascus to get the church out and moving and spread the gospel. Father God, we need to go out into a world that's flavorless, that's bland, that's dead.